Our reading for today is from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is in God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze on Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze on the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Richard Tino, Peace Lutheran Church, Sandusky, Michigan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is 2 Corinthians 1:23 to 2:17. A very interesting text, but a controversial text, because it's all about excommunication. Excommunication is when the church gathered together elects to remove a fellow member from church membership with the result that if that person should die before being reinstated to church, they would be lost forever. That sounds really judgmental, doesn't it? And then you add to that all the misuses of excommunication over the years. Churches have wrongly excommunicated people for not voting to add an addition to the church or for disagreeing with the pastor. Excommunication has been used to get rid of church members that the congregation didn't like or to clear off the church records so that the so-called dead wood of inactive members would not clutter the membership. For all these reasons, excommunication is controversial. Therefore, many congregations simply got rid of it, either by voting it out of their constitution or simply by never using it. This really is unfortunate, because excommunication is a wonderful gift from God. I'll say that again. Excommunication is God's wonderful gift to his church. It's wonderful because of why God gave it to us. He gave it to us as his last passionate plea to rescue an unbeliever from eternal judgment. I say unbeliever because that's the only person who should be excommunicated. I do not refer to unbelievers out on the street, meaning those who are not already members of Christ's church. I'm speaking specifically of those members of his church who have somehow fallen into unbelief, usually through willful and unrepentant indulgence in some sin, any sin. that willful indulgence does kill faith eventually. Now, I said this is God's gift to the church, God's last passionate plea to rescue that person. Here's how that works. As long as a person who willfully and shamelessly indulges in a sin has access to communion, that person has deceived themselves into thinking that they are going to heaven. The church's response, which is a response of love, is to forbid them from coming to communion. They are never forbidden from coming to church. In this way, the church is trying to show them the door of heaven is closed while that person is still alive, because as long as they're alive on earth, there's still the possibility that they will come to faith and the door will immediately be opened and they'll be able to go to heaven now and forever. I saw this illustrated perfectly by my oldest son, who at the time was only 3 years old. He was sitting in the living room playing with his trucks. My wife asked him, "Justin, I'm going to the store in a minute. Do you want to come?" Justin always went to the store with her, but this time he answered no. Anne got her keys and purse and said once again, "I'm leaving, honey. Do you want to come?" Noah was all he could mutter because he was fully engrossed in his trucks. Finally, Anne stood at the door and said, "Justin, I'm leaving. Do you want to come with me?" "No," he answered. So she left and closed the door. It was that moment of finality when the door closed and Mom was gone that drove home the reality that Justin just missed going to the grocery with his mom. He broke out in the heaviest of sobbing. So I took him to the grocery, which was only a block away. When I saw that exchange, I immediately realized that's how excommunication is supposed to work. God, in Christ, keeps appealing to the unrepentant sinner to join him in heaven. The unrepentant sinner keeps answering, "No, I'm engrossed in this sin. I can't give it up." After several pleas, God finally closes the door to heaven, that is the rail to communion, hoping to drive home that moment of finality that my son experienced, that moment when the sinner cries out, "This is really serious. I'm not going to heaven if I don't turn away from this sin." So the whole purpose of excommunication is not to get rid of people, not to weed out the so-called really horrible sinners, but to get back the person who was lost. In our reading, this process worked, and the excommunicated man was allowed back into church fellowship, back to Holy Communion. When you get to heaven, you're going to meet that man, and he will tell you how wonderful excommunication really is. It literally saved him. It's truly God's wonderful gift to his church, but only as long as we use it as he intended, which is to bring back the lost sheep who can't find his way. In Christ's name, amen.
We thank Pastor Richard Tino for this meditation on God's Word.